Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you are here. Glory to God, for He is good and He never fails. And that's why we're here, to build our life upon His firm foundation. Well, thank you for planting the seeds of the gospel and saving more souls by sharing this video. My name is Pastor Josh Pan, and we're here to say Jesus first forever. Let me know you're here. Throw that like button. Subscribe. It helps the channel, helps me, and helps the Lord grow His kingdom. And so we praise God. Today we're going to be going into the daily devotion from 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 41 to 53. And it's on good and evil. Good and evil. And so here we're going to look into King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, who is the righteous king and who followed after God and who walked in His ways and who did not reject God's counsel. While in the previous passage, there was King Ahab, and he met his demise for his disobedience, and he did that because he disobeyed God's command, or God's prophet, that warned him of going into battle against the Syrian king, and so he died in the battle, unfortunately. But now we're going to look at a good king. Hello, Jasmisha, and everyone, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Praise the Lord, for God is good. All the time. So, in verse 41, we're going to be reading this passage, and then we're going to read reflections, and we're going to dig right in this in depth and more deeper into this passage to understand it, and then we'll grab more insights and lessons that you can take, and that will build you up and lead you and grow you and allow you to build your life on His firm foundation. So stick to the very end, for it will bless you and keep you rooted in Him. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. You're from Harasha. I love it. Praise the Lord. Verse 41. King Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, became king of Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. And Jehoshaphat, he was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years, and his mother's name was Azubah, daughter of Shilhi. In everything, he walked in the ways of his father Asa and did not stray from them, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord in the right high places, however, were not removed. Were not destroyed, were not deleted, and that means there is so much potential for false worship of idols. And people continued to offer sacrifices, to burn incense there. Sacrifices most likely to false gods. And then verse 44, Jehoshaphat was also at peace with the king of Israel. As for other events of Jehoshaphat's reign, the things he achieved and his military exploits, are they not written in the book of Annals of the Kings of Judah? It was written in 2 Chronicles. And then verse 46. He rid the land of the rest of the male shrine prostitutes who remained there, even though after the reign of his father Asa. And there was no king in Edom. A deputy ruled. Now Jehoshaphat, he built a fleet of trading ships to go to Ophir for gold, but they never set sail, and they were wrecked at the Ezion Geber. And at that time, Ahaziah, son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "Let my men sail with your men." But Jehoshaphat refused. Then Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with them in the city of David, his father. And Jehoram, his son, succeeded him. And Ahaziah, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And he reigned over Israel for 2 years. And he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, because he walked in the ways of his father and mother and in the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. And he served and worshipped Baal and provoked the Lord and the God of Israel to anger, just as his father had done. Wow. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy. We thank you that you are powerful and that you are alive and that you are here to build our life upon your truth, your goodness, your mercy, your grace. So Lord God, I pray the Spirit of the Lord would be moving here as we seek to learn more of you and to build our life upon your firm foundation. In Jesus' most holy name, Amen, amen. So I see a few things from you guys, and praise the Lord, for He is good. And God, He never fails us. And so right now, you know, God is working. We got everything we need. And we just praise Him for all that He has and He does. He says, do you have a donate button? I don't have a donate button. You could just be a member, but that's your choice. So, reflection here. The first reflection out of two is that, number one, there's peace of the righteous. King Jehoshaphat, he was a righteous king who followed after his father Asa, who was also righteous, who also purged the evil out of the land of Judah and the Benjaminite, the southern kingdom, which is only two tribes. The northern kingdom, however, they continued worshiping the false gods and idols, and they were deep in sin and deep far away from God. And so, like his father Asa, King Jehoshaphat, he obeys the Lord. He follows in the Lord's ways, what Yahweh is commanding him, and he listens to the righteous prophets of the Lord and not worship the false idols. And although he does not remove the high places, which were altars for false gods, he is faithful and active in uprooting idolatry in his reign. And the reigns of Asa and Jehoshaphat lasted combined around 66 years. And Jehoshaphat's reign is a time of victories and prolonged peace within the nation of Judah. And they may feel stable and they feel secure because they were part and connected to God's protection and provision. And so, during this time of victory and the time of righteous ruler, the people flourished and they felt stable and secure and inspired towards righteousness themselves. And such is the case not only in the government, but in any context. You see, when the United States was founded upon the principles of God and founded upon worshiping one true God, you know, things flourished and things were secured for the United States of America. In fact, the Pledge of Allegiance, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, for the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, for justice and liberty for all. It's under God. And so we were under God, but now we've taken that out of the school system. Now we've taken that out of the state system. Now we've taken that out of the government system. And what happens to the government? Now we're seeing a downfall of it. Now people are not encouraged to live a righteous life or a life that is following God. Now the whole nation is dying, it's being corrupt, it's being taken advantage of, and the people are suffering. And so this security and peace that we see is a product of our founding fathers, a product of those who founded the colonies, 13 colonies, and how they were Puritans and worshiped God and wanted to be apart from the Roman Church and to be rooted in their own faith in God. Amen. And so we were able to now have this peace. We don't know how much longer it will last, but by God's grace, we still have it. And by God's grace, we still have this freedom. So it's getting harder and harder. But as it gets harder and harder, as it gets darker and darker, we know that Jesus will grow brighter and brighter. And that's why we're seeing major revival, major baptism happening in California, in Florida. There were 1,614 people getting baptized in Florida just the past 2 weeks. And then in Southern California, there was a historic moment of 12,000 people getting baptized in Southern California. And so we can see how God is working and God is alive and how He shines brighter. Amen. And such is the case, not only in this government in the Israelites, but also in the present government in the United States of America, in whatever countries that are out there, if they are not founded upon firm principles of the Lord our God, following after His ways, worshiping Him, then they will find there's going to be a difficult time growing that country. And so let us consider how we affect those around us. Live in the righteousness of God so that we can be a blessing for others. God called us to be a blesser. He called us to be a blessing to others. We are blessed to be a blessing. Praise the Lord. And we also inspire others to grow and thrive in the Lord. So because God has been able to bless me and give me everything that I need in order to live stream, in order to grow, in order to build my life upon His firm foundation, in order to walk in His ways and let me step in His ministry, this live stream, this YouTube channel, this social media ministry, online ministry is flourishing. And not only that, but also offline, God is flourishing that community within my church, within my students. And as they continue being a light on their school campus, wow, God is doing beautiful things and allowing them to build their leadership, build their strength, and build their faith in God. Amen. Amen. And so we can really see there is peace in the times when there's a righteous leader. And, you know, there's this major news going around of Trump getting indicted for 32 felonies in the state court, in the liberal court, in the liberal jury, and that the court system, it was not very fair. And so, and that even that judge was against him because 7 years ago, Trump did something to him that really ticked him off. And so he's like getting back at Trump now. And so this is a political persecution and stuff going on. But one thing I respect about Trump is that he still says, who's the most famous of all? Not I. There's one person, and that is Jesus. He's still able to utter the name of Jesus and speak His name and to say that he relies on Jesus. He may not be perfect, but at least he is not a puppet being controlled by the government. He is one who is actually giving glory to God for His business, for His rally, and He's here to fight for the people of America. And so we know that there's these things going on. And it's not to deter you from any of your beliefs or anything, but, you know, God is in control. And when there is a righteous leader or a man that actually wants to give God and lift His name on high, the people of this nation are also encouraged to follow after that one true God. But if there is a wicked or there is someone who is not worshiping the one true God, then that nation will be discouraged to follow after God. In fact, be confused of their identity, be confused of who they are, be confused and insecure of what's to come. And so we as Christians, we as believers, we should not be impacted or influenced by the things around us, even though it does. But instead, we don't let that extrinsic or external influence or circumstance influence us, but we let God influence us from within. So we can't control our circumstances, but we can control how we react, how we think, what we say, what we do, and how we act. So by God's grace, that He gave us this free will to continue walking in His ways, continue building our life upon His firm foundation. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. For God is good. And then, amen. Number two. So there's that righteous leadership. And then there's the disastrous leadership. And like his father, Ahab, King Ahaziah fails to walk in the ways of the Lord. He does not lead his people to righteousness, and he is compared to Jeroboam, who caused Israel to sin. And in this line of kings, from Jeroboam to Ahaziah, has been marked by disastrous disobedience. And this is a sobering end to the book of 1 Kings. And imagine the efforts of the ungodly leadership on the people, the effects on them, effects on the people of the nation. Well, this sad state of affairs really reminds us of the consequences of a prolonged poor leadership. But Christians today are blessed because we have Jesus as the ultimate leadership, ultimate example of righteous leadership. And Jesus has proven himself to be the perfect leader that you can model after his life. And Jesus has brought his kingdom from heaven to earth into our hearts. And that is why we know that God is working in our life, and God has good plans for each and every one of us. So let's dive into this passage. In this word of 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 41 to 53. And this is the final passage, I believe, that we're going to be reading. And then we're going to go into a new passage tomorrow. Amen. Amen. And so, in this passage, as an introduction, without question, parents influence their children. Tremendously so. In fact, the influence of parents upon children cannot be overemphasized. The exceptions to saying as a good parent, as goes the parent, as so goes the child. Let me repeat this. As goes the parent, so goes the child, are few and far between. Hence, we influence our own children, either good or for bad, either evil or for good, or righteousness. And simply stated, if we live productive lives, then our children will most likely be successful. But if we live lives that are purposeless and unproductive, then the likelihood of our children will be aimless and unfruitful in life. So if you live righteous and holy lives, then your children will probably live this righteous and holy lives. But if you live sinful and wicked lives, then your children will most likely live sinful and wicked lives. You see, this is the truth, that we have direct impact on our children. And so I'm going to be a parent soon. I'm not yet having a child. The child comes in June 20th. And so within 3 weeks, I'm going to be officially holding a baby boy on my live stream, preaching the word of God, and being productive. And by the grace of God, may this baby boy be impacted by the word of God and grow in his righteousness and holy lives in Christ. Amen. And so this final passage of 1 Kings really shows the importance of parental influences. And the verses reveal that the influences that the parents have in the two kings had upon their sons. One king had a godly parent, and the other king had evil parents. Each king followed in the footsteps of his parents, which is a striking lesson for every generation of people. This is the reign of Jehoshaphat in Judah and the Ahaziah in Israel, learning the importance of the parental influence. And we can see the good reign of Jehoshaphat influenced his child, was influenced by his father, actually, King Asa, the godly influence of parents, and then the evil king of Ahaziah, the evil influence of his parents, of King Ahab. And so this is the introduction to good and evil, how your life really matters, that your children are looking towards you for guidance, for influence, that your children long to learn and walk after you and to be approved by you. Amen. And so this was a good example of the good reign of King Jehoshaphat in the southern kingdom of Judah. And remember, Jehoshaphat had formed an alliance with King Ahab in an attempt to conquer Ramad. And this attempt was unsuccessful. King Jehoshaphat will appear again in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, and will remain king throughout all the events until the chapter 8 of 2 Kings in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 16. So he plays a big chunk within that 2 Kings that we will be reading. And from the scriptural and practical perspective, the important lesson is to be learned that you have godly influence, the godly influence of parents. So this is the first part. This is the first part. Amen. Yeah, maybe there's going to be a terrible two. Maybe there's going to be a tough time. But when they're small, they are like innocent. They don't move. They don't. Maybe they cry. But I've been studying different ways to make this baby more comfortable so he won't be crying. More comfortable. Yeah, whether it's a bladder movement, but they enjoy rubs. They enjoy something on their head. They enjoy security. They enjoy maybe their soothing voice. So Praise the Lord. Hello, Static. Hello. Yeah. So, we can learn here in the first half of this passage that Jehoshaphat, he was 35 years old when he became the sole ruler of Judah. And he assumed the throne during the fourth year of Ahab, who was the ruler of the northern kingdom. Reigning a total of 25 years, Jehoshaphat ruled 3 years as regent with Asa, his father. And remember that his father, Asa, was afflicted with some foot disease as an old age, which probably disabled him and necessitated his son ruling by his side, most likely during the latter years of Jehoshaphat's rule. And he spent 5 years co-regency with his son Jehoram. And so Jehoshaphat, he lived this righteous life and continued his father's social and religious reforms. And the scripture clearly states that he walked in the godly ways of his father Asa, and his father had instituted religious reforms by removing all idols unto and throughout the nation, banishing all religious prostitutes and false prophets. And his father had even removed his own grandmother Maacah from her position as queen mother because of her idolatry, her false worship, and doing all that he could do to lead the people back to the Lord God. Asa had set a high standard of righteousness before the nation, for his family, for his son Jehoshaphat, and it did not disappoint, because Jehoshaphat walked in the ways of God, walking in the ways of his righteous example, walking in the ways of a godly ways and as the father. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, pleasing the Lord with his righteous life. And only in one area did Jehoshaphat come short. He failed to permanently remove the high places. Remember that the high places were hills, and they had been set aside as worship sites. And many of these sites were given over to the worship of false idols. And at first, he attempted to remove them. In 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 6, it says that he took great pride in the ways the Lord had again removed the high places and Asherim from Judah. But the people had rebuilt those worship centers, seeing that the people's strong attachment to false idols, false gods were there. He allowed the worship of false worship centers to remain. Yeah. So, this failure, in fact, that he agreed to the marriage of his son Jehoram to Ahab's daughter Athaliah, were two serious failures of King Jehoshaphat. The marriage of his son to Ahab's daughter was a result in several crises in Judah later on. However, through the marriage, Jehoshaphat became the brother-in-law to Ahab, and peace was established through the southern and northern kingdom, at least throughout Jehoshaphat's reign. So it was a temporary peace. Not an eternal peace, but temporary peace. And it was established through the marriage of King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat's children. And that brought them together. But that was only a temporary solution. And later on, it came back to bite them. And in discussing Jehoshaphat's achievement, in giving a summary of his life, the author lists 6 facts. His reign and achievement are recorded in the book, The Histories of the King of Judah. Of course, this was one of the primary sources the author used in writing the book of 1 Kings. And secondly, Jehoshaphat's major religious reform was banishing of the shrine prostitutes who had escaped his father's purge. And just like his father, he did all that he could do to turn people away from their false worships, to turn them back to God, to worship the one and true living God. Amen. And number 3, he was able to subject Edom to the rule and authority of Judah. And note that he placed his own deputy over the nation. And so he had influence over Edom. And number 4, at some point of his reign, he built a fleet of trading ships which never actually left the port. And this undertaking was a joint venture with the evil king of Israel, Ahaziah, and the commercial alliance was denounced by the Lord prophet Eliezer. And because of the unholy, worldly alliance, God has sent a storm to destroy the ships before they ever left the ports of Ezion Geber. And soon thereafter, King Ahaziah offered to enter into a joint venture to rebuild this fleet of ships. But this time, Jehoshaphat, he knew better, and he refused that. Amen? Welcome back, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. Number 5, Jehoshaphat. He died shortly and was buried in Jerusalem, the capital of the southern kingdom of Judah. And note that all former rulers of the southern kingdom were buried in Jerusalem. So it was a huge, huge honor to be buried with his forefathers. And so we can see that he was a righteous king and honored. Amen. Praise the Lord. And number 6, Jehoshaphat was succeeded by his son Jehoram. So the line continued. Even though Jehoram was not perfect and actually, I believe, evil, so there came the downfall of this kingdom. And so we can learn here. What can you learn here? We're going to tap into the lessons. Very important. Jehoshaphat, he had a godly parents. Parents who lived righteous lives before their children. His father, King Asa, purged the idols, was harsh, was hard, and was saying, "We shall not worship any other gods except for the one true living God." And as Jehoshaphat, he was growing up, he was taught the commandments of God to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, your strength, and to worship God and the one true God. And the most important, he was taught to live what he learned from the Word of God, from the Old Testament, from Genesis, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, from Numbers, from Exodus, from the Old Testament, from Samuel. What he was taught in order to please the Lord, one and living God. And so he lived a righteous and holy life before the Lord and before the people of the southern kingdom. And he urged them to do the same. And they were encouraged to do the same. And so the people and the nation of Judah was secured in the presence of the Lord. And they did not have to worry. They had everything. They had God protecting them and providing them for them. And so at the head of his own family, the head of the nation, he set a dynamic example for his children and for the nation of Judah and the people to follow. So it must be the same with you. You must set a dynamic example of godliness in your own children to follow. And in most cases, a child will follow in the footsteps of his or her parents. If you live godly and righteous lives, your children will also follow in your example too. They too will live righteous and godly life. If you teach your children to worship the Lord, to obey the word and commandments of God, they too will follow his word and obey his commandment. And also, if you choose to teach your children to go to church, to worship the Lord, they too will go to church and worship the Lord throughout their lives. As parents, nothing is more important as leading your children to Christ, grounding them upon his word, listening to what God's word has to say about setting righteous example for children, and instructing you to walk in the ways of righteousness. Amen? So, this should be an excitement for you. Although, if you're a parent, great, this is for you. If you're not, and you're going to be, amen, this is for you. If you're not, then this is also for you. This is so that you can learn that your actions actually have an influence on other people, and it influences them to whether to walk in Christ or not. Amen. Hello, Daniel. Praise the Lord. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they dined, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He says unto him, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he says to him, "Feed my lambs." Wow, this is the motivation of love. And Jesus is speaking to Simon. after they finished breakfast, and he said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And he said to them, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." He wants you also to be a light, to this dark world. He wants you to be the salt of the earth, to preserve the earth from destruction, from ruin, to give people a chance to come into the presence of God and to build their life upon His firm foundation. Amen? Amen. Ha ha. Glory to God. Yeah, so we will feed His lamb, His sheep. We'll be a shepherd if when we can. Amen. So, if you love the Lord, you will be a light for Him. You will be an influence for Him. And so, by God's grace, He is using this channel to influence people's lives. And so, He will Hunter Schwartz. It's okay if you don't understand anything. But let me put this in. I read it from the New King James Version, which is hard to understand. But let me just read from the NIV or NASB version, which will be something that you can understand better. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, "I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother first, and then your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." Now, Timothy was actually a second or third generation Christian. And then his grandmother loved the Lord, followed Jesus in His footsteps. And so did his mother, who loved the Lord and followed in His footsteps. And now there's Timothy. Timothy also followed in the Lord in Jesus' ways because of his influence from the influence from his mother, from his grandmother. And so Paul was writing to him and say, "And I'm persuaded, I'm sure that this same faith, this same love that is in your grandmother, in your mother, is also in you." And so I know that when you, as a child, you grow up, you want to be a good influence to those around you. You want to be a good influence to your future children. And so that's why it's so crucial that you grow in your faith, in your righteousness, in your walk with God today. You don't know exactly who you'll impact in the future, but for sure, when you walk in the ways of God, you will have an influence. And God, He is the greatest influence of all. His love, His joy, His peace, His eternal patience, which is given to you and me, which is something the world longs. And so that's why this is for you, that you walk in the ways of God upon His firm foundation, to stay positive and to get rid of overthinking, and to walk in, set your eyes on God and not think too much, because let God define who you are and what you are and what you do, so that you will have a clear direction in your life. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 says, "And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings of the scripture, and which are able to give you wisdom that leads you towards salvation through faith that is in Jesus Christ." Amen. So from young, or from now, as long as you read the Word of God, you're able to make more wise and more sound and more discerning decisions within your life. And through faith, you grow in His salvation, in His purpose, in His love, which is through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now this is from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, where Moses writes, only give heed to yourself to keep your soul diligently upon His firm foundation, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart in the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Make them known to your future generations. Make them known of what God has done in your life, to your son and your grandson, your granddaughter and your daughter. make them known to the children and to other people. And so, yes, I try to make known what God has done in my own life. And I give him praise and I give him glory, for he has given me more than enough. He's given me a secured location to live, given me a secured place to preach the word of God in my church. He's given me this platform to speak to each and every one of you guys and to allow you guys to grow in him, to encourage you to draw closer to our one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and he will draw closer to you. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 13. And that their children, which have not known anything, fear the Lord as long as you live on the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. You see, your children, they grow up not knowing anything. And it is your job to teach them, your job to nurture them, your job to allow them to grow, to fear the Lord your God, to walk in the ways of God, and to walk in his promises and his goodness and his mercy and his love wherever you go. Amen. Amen. And that's why we thank our Lord Jesus Christ for all that he's done for us. More than enough. More than enough. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4 to 5 talks about David, and I believe Solomon. And if thou wilt walk with me, and if you will walk with me before me as your father David did, an integrity of heart and uprightness, integrity, in integrity, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my ordinances and my commands and my judgments, then I will establish in you the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, just as I promised your father David, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. You shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Wow. He's talking to King Solomon, saying, when you walk in my ways, you live with a heart of integrity, with a heart of uprightness. You do all that I command you. Then what will I do for you? This was a promise to King Solomon. He says, I will establish you on the throne of my kingdom over Israel forever. And likewise, when you walk with a heart of integrity, heart after God's own heart, heart that wants and longs to worship him, he will establish you. He will establish you upon where you are in order to be his vessel, his ambassador, his holy nation, his righteousness here on earth. Do you want to be established, Sania, Faith, McDonald? Do you want to be established in your life, Danielle, upon his firm foundation? Do you want to be established and have all that you need, all that you ask for? Well, you must, absolutely must, walk in the ways of God and trust in him and build your life upon his firm foundation. God calls you to be fruitful and multiply. God calls you to be the light of the world. God calls you to be his vessels and to go into the ends of the earth, teaching and preaching and sharing the good news, the word of God, the promises of God, the salvation that he's given to you, baptizing others in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's going to establish you. I know he established me here because I said yes to him. But it did not establish just overnight. This was a step-by-step growth through the 11 years, through the 10 years that I've been saying, yes, Lord, I will follow after you. It was an overnight thing. I studied hard. I walked. I was patient. I was still and knew he was still God. I consulted God and said, Lord, lead me, teach me, for I don't know what I'm doing. But show me the way. Point me towards the right direction. Join your right timing. Not my will, but yours be done. May you increase and I decrease. May my life glorify you all the days of my life and not take for granted anything that I receive. May I not worship the gifts that I have, but may I worship the giver of the gifts. And that is God himself. He is the giver of the gifts. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, live in his righteousness. He will establish you. This was given to me and is imparted to you as you receive this gift and this promise of God. Do you want to be stable? Do you want to be firm? Do you want to be non-shaken, unshaken by the waves of the wind of the world? Well, first, you must anchor your life upon Christ. Root your life upon God and build your life upon his firm foundation. Then you will be unshaken. Then you will know your identity. Then you will know exactly what you must do in your life for him and not for yourself. And so, by God's grace, I'm looking for a time when I can give generously. For generosity is a grace from God. And I long to give more to ministry, to the furthering of the kingdom of God. And right now I'm giving my talent, my time, yes, my effort. I'm giving and sacrificing time of leisure and gaming so that God's name can be proclaimed and lifted high. And in the future, I would love to give treasures, financial giving. Yes, I am giving to God what belongs to him. I'm giving it. But I want to give above and beyond that tithe. I want to give above and beyond. So I can see that happening in the future. By God's grace, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is helpful. This is helpful. So, if you want to be stable, type, I want to be stable. I see Sawana Gates already said that. So, I want to be stable in the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 3. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father David earlier days and did not seek Baals. He did not seek false gods. He did not seek false idols. Instead, he sought the one and only true God. The father, David. It wasn't saying the father, Asa, or the father, King Solomon. He was saying David, who was after God's own heart. You should study David's heart. How David was able to grow solid, firm in upon God. Although he sinned, although he was not perfect, yet he repented, and God forgave him, and God referred him as someone who is righteous. Amen. Darren, I want to be stable. User, I want to be stable. Praise the Lord. Lovey, I want to be stable. Praise the Lord, I see you. And I am Waldo, Waddell. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. And 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 4. And he did in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. And then Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it said to train up a child in the ways that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from them. He will not depart from it. You train up a child the way he should go. Then when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. And then Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9. To whom would he teach knowledge? And to whom would he interpret the message? Those who weaned for milk, those who just taken from the breast. Well, so whom shall we teach? We shall teach our children. And children, the next generation, Generation Z, Gen X, Gen Z, Gen Z, Gen X. Oh, now there's Gen Alpha. My son is going to be Gen Alpha, coming in June 20th. And I'm going to have to teach him in the ways of the Lord. From the time he is born, I'm going to be speaking to his life and be able to educate him about who God is. And he's going to be so smart. I know he's going to be so smart because God is the one that teaches us to teach our children. Some people are like, well, babies don't understand when they're young. They don't understand? Yeah, that's true. But make them understand. Just like when someone says, you'll never understand. Well, I ask them, well, make me understand. Help me understand. I want to understand. And so, just assume the child wants to understand. The child is hungry to learn as well. Hungry to learn in the righteous ways. In the loving ways of God. Amen. Amen. Now, on the flip side, Shalom, there was evil reign of Ahaziah, the ruler of the northern kingdom of Israel. Only a brief sketch is given of Ahaziah in the closing books of the First Kings from verse 51 and 53. And his reign is picked up by the first chapter of Second Kings. So Ahaziah, he was crowned king right after his father Ahab died in the battlefield, which was the 17th year of Jehoshaphat's reign over the southern kingdom. But Ahaziah had only a brief reign, ruling only for 2 years. In the very straightforward manner, the scripture says that he followed the evil example of three persons: his father Ahab, his mother Jezebel, the founder of the northern kingdom, Jeroboam. And he walked in the evil ways of the three wicked people whose tragic and terrible examples had lived out before him. And he engaged in false worship and worshiping the false idols like Baal, like the Asherah poles, like the evil prostitutes. And so as a result, he provoked the Lord, arousing the Lord God to be angry at him, leading the nation off guard, off towards unrighteousness. And then, consequently, he was under the condemnation of God. And this fact is seen in the very first chapter of 2 Kings. So this lesson that can be learned from here is that we must see here, setting the example of evil example to your children is a terrible legacy to leave them. It's a terrible legacy to leave them. So if you walk in sin and wickedness, most likely your children will follow in your example of that sinful, wicked lives of selfishness. And this is a terrible indictment against many people. For it means that if you live immoral lives, then your children will be more prone to commit idolatry. If you pop pills, drugs, alcoholic beverages, then your children more likely pop pills, drugs, and alcoholic beverages. If you lie, steal, and cheat, then your children will more likely lie, steal, and cheat. If you live lives of greed, covetousness, even grasping after more and more, then your children will be more inclined to live lives of greed and covetousness. If you complain, grumble, gossip, undoubtedly your children will complain, grumble, and gossip. You see, if you curse, then they will curse. Use vulgar language, then your children will do that too. If you overeat or gluttony, then the son of gluttony will also hop over to your children and overeat and commit the sin of gluttony. And that's why it's so important that you walk in the ways of the Lord, live in His righteousness so they can live in righteousness. Live apart, away, fleeing from sin so they can live apart, away, fleeing from sin. No matter what sin or wickedness you commit, if you continue these patterns of sin and don't repent, then most likely your children are going to follow after your example. And this is one of the reasons God constantly warns you about living against ungodliness and unrighteousness. To live your life for God. To live your life for His holiness. To live your life in His goodness, in His mercy. Praise the Lord. And so we have to look at the examples given by the scripture, the word of God, of evil parents who influence their children to do evil. Yes. So, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 8, it says, having been prompted by his mother, she said, give me here on the platter the head of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he was executed because this queen or princess queen, who pleased the king, Harold, and the mother asked for the head, and told the daughter to do so. And so, pretty much, she was influenced to ask King Harold for the head of John the Baptist. And it was given to the mother, eventually. And so that's how powerful a parent has upon their child. Amen. So that's why we say Jesus forever. Alyssa, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 52. We can see, and he, Ahaziah, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father, in the ways of his mother, in the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin. Wow. There's so much more examples. Amos chapter 2, verse 4 says, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and four I will not provoke to judge punishment, because they have not kept the law of the Lord, and they have not kept his statutes, and their lies have led them astray, those after which their fathers have walked. So we can see how generations after generations, these generational curses happen because of one man's sin. It happened because of Adam, which passed down to his son, Cain and Abel, passed it down all the way down to us. Because of one man's sin, we have all been punished and cursed. But because of one man's righteousness, we have now been redeemed and reconciled. And that one man is Jesus, who died on the cross for your sin and defeated sin and death on that cross, and set you free from the bondage of sin and death, now giving you eternal life, eternal presence of God, and giving you salvation and his presence through the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Glory to God. So, listen so very carefully about what God says about the duties of parents. That parents have a duty. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction to the Lord. He said, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up, nurture them in abomination of the Lord. And then Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, it says, fathers, provoke not your child to anger, lest they be discouraged. Don't make them angry. Be patient with them. Love them. Grow them. And then 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. And one ruleth well his own house. One manages over his own household, keeping his own children under control with all dignity, with all gravity, in subjection to God, with all gravity. You see, God told us to keep our house under control. And some people think that, oh, when we have children, it's out of control. And I'll give up. It's just like that. It's normal. But I don't think that's normal. When I see my cousin's household, they have two sons and one daughter. And their sons are actually pretty disciplined, pretty reasonable. They're not screaming and yelling everywhere, but they're actually praying, loving the Lord. They're disciplined. They're reading the Word of God. They're going to church. They're being raised in a righteous household. And I pray that my household will be the same, and that we can see baby Pan grow up in the discipline of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the discipline of following after Him, in the discipline of being slow to anger, quick to forgive, quick to listen, to be slow to speak. Amen. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Let the deacons and be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses as well. Let the deacons be the husbands of only one wife, not two wives, not three wives, but one wife, and good managers of their children and their own household. So this is like for me as well. I should be responsible for our own household. Amen. So, it's a challenge. It's not easy. But by God's grace and His guidance, we're able to do so. Amen. I believe this is helpful. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7. And these words which I command you these days shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your child, and you shall talk to them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by in your ways, in your actions, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall teach our Lord, our God, how His good righteousness and His good promises are in their life. To teach in worshiping and praising God, and jumping and worshiping the Lord, being on fire for Him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, train up the child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from him. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 18 to 19. For the grave cannot praise thee. The grave cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. It is the living who give thanks to you, as I do today. A father tells his sons about your faithfulness. So, Jesus forever. We put Jesus forever in our life and thank Him for all that He's done. Thank Him and rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is what God will for you in your life. Amen. And so remember, we all sinned. We all made mistakes. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. We deserve that death, that eternal death, separation from God. But God so loved the world that He sent His one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Shall not have that eternal death and eternal separation from God, but have eternal life in His presence, in His goodness, in His mercy. Amen. Amen. So, let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray. I thank you for all that you taught us, to be good parents, righteous parents, to be loving parents, to reflect your goodness, your mercy. Lord God, I pray that you would allow us to grow up wherever we are, to be good students of your word. If those who have no father, no mother, may you be their parent. May you be the Heavenly Father that loves them. Lord God, I thank you that you never let us down and that you walk with us. Teach us, lead us, guide us as our Heavenly Father. You discipline us because you love us. So Lord, we do not take it for granted. And we thank you for your word, for your discipline, so that you would use us to increase and multiply. And Father God, I pray for all those under the sound of my voice, that you allow them to grow strong in you, bold in you, courageous in you, that you bring protection upon their life against the evil one, that you bring provision in their life so that they have all that they need. For you are El Shaddai, God Almighty, God of more than enough. You are Jehovah Jireh, God who provides all my needs. So Lord God, you are the Lord we depend on. And Father God, I pray for wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discernment in everything that we do, because we know that it is you who holds all wisdom, all knowledge and discernment, and you know all things more than us. So Lord, be in our hearts. Give us the direction, the knowledge in order to know what to do. In your name, we love. And those who want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, pray this with me. Lord, I accept you into my heart. I commit you to you 100% to following you, to reading your word, to praising you, to worshiping you, to reading you, to praying to you. Lord God, come into my heart, transform me, lead me, so I can build your kingdom as well. In Jesus' most holy name. Amen. If you have any questions, if you need blessings, let me know so that I can pray for you, bless for you, and also allow you to just see our God, our Savior. Amen. So we're going to go into 4 application questions. And then may God bless you. Amen. I am Waldo, says in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Not K, your favorite. Amen. God bless. Miss Honey says, yes, Lord, Jesus is great. Amen and amen again. Praise the Lord. God is good. So number one, who are the righteous and inspiring leaders in your life? Who are the righteous and inspiring leaders in your life? Well, I have several leaders in my life. I have my dad first. He's a righteous and holy man of God. So he's a pastor. And by God's grace, guess what? My grandparents, they are both also pastors on both sides of the family. And then I am like the seventh generation Christian within my family. So there's a generational blessings within my family. So if you're not experiencing that, you know, you can break the generational curses and start that generational blessings within your family to follow the one true God. So yes, my father does. My grandfather does. My grandmother, who loves the Lord, to her deathbed, she was saying, every day we glorify God, we praise God, we walk in His ways. We walk in His ways. He said this to every single one of her grandchildren and her children and those great-grandchildren. That is the inspiration that you should give to the next generation. Amen. Lavi says, how often are you here? Well, I am currently doing live stream every day. So 1 hour a day. Right now we've been here for an hour. We're gonna go on until we finish these application questions. But my grandparents, they were huge influences. And my parents. And so we continue walking in His ways. Amen. So if you miss any live streams, you can find it on YouTube on Pastor Josh Pan. And so it's all there, it's recorded, and we can give glory to God. And number two, so other righteous inspiring leaders in my life. I have Pastor Bonnie B. Lee. I have Pastor Paul Dubé. I have my current pastor, Pastor James G. I have Dr. Leroy Ganey, who actually officiated my wedding. I have Dr. Rick Durst, who was the one that first hired me into seminary, Gateway Seminary. I have several different righteous, inspiring leaders in my life. I have even Dr. Miles Monroe. I'd never met him, but he was online and he spoke the word of God. And he inspired me to be a righteous husband, a righteous man of God. And so really, so many people inspired me. And so who's righteous, inspiring leaders in your life? And by God's grace, some may say, Pastor Josh Pan. In the name of Jesus, I'm honored, but I have to say, the most inspiring leader of all is Jesus Himself. Jesus is the most greatest leader of all time. Jesus inspires. Solomon inspires. King David inspires. The people in the Bible inspires. Paul inspires. And that's why we read the Word of God, to know those people, to get to know them, and to walk in the ways of the Lord. By the way, guys, thanks for the like, subscribe, and for the thumbs up. Thanks for helping the channel grow and flourishing in Jesus' name. And then, number two, question out of four. How can you be a blessing and encouragement to others to grow and flourish? To grow and flourish. Amen. Well, number one, I stay positive. Number two, I keep smiling, being cheerful. Number three, I continue walking the ways of the Lord. Number four, I be consistent. Number five, I share my real life experience that my life has not always been easy. There was tough times, rough patches. Now it's much better because of what God has done in my life. Now I have direction. Now I know better. And now I know how to train up my child even better. I wish my father did train me up in ways of saying, this is the way you should go. Not just saying, you can do whatever you want, however you want. I wish there was more guidance. But, of course, I was a rebellious child, so maybe they wanted no part of it. But what he did was stay righteous, read the Word of God, and also kept us rooted and grounded in God. So we praise the Lord. And so may you continue flourishing. May you continue growing and building your life upon God. And may I be a blessing to you, because I'm put here to be a blessing, because I've been blessed by God. And so now this is my cup overflowing to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Number three, when have you seen examples of poor leadership? Examples of poor leadership is being like a deadbeat dad, a deadbeat pastor, a deadbeat individual. Someone who's deadbeat, it's like with no heartbeat, who with no life, with no care with for other people. Someone who's deadbeat is absent, who is just going through life, not even helping at all. And so, poor leadership. Well, we can see in the Bible, when there's poor leadership, the whole nation suffers. When there's poor leadership in our presidential candidate, the whole country suffers. Higher inflation, higher cost rate, lower wages, more illegal immigration, non-protected borders. We can see corruption within, from the top to bottom, the deep state taking control, poor leadership. But we are not worried about it, because we know that God is in control. God is bigger, and there's people who are worse off. So we're thankful still to God for giving us in this situation where we can grow in Him, build our life upon His firm foundation. Amen. Amen. And then number four, what lessons can be applied to those situations from perfect leadership of Jesus? You see, Jesus is the perfect leadership or leader of all time. What lessons can we apply? That we start within our own homes, within our household. We start. Family is a nucleus of our government. And when it is broken, when family is broken, then you'll see government become broken. So then in your family, you start being a nucleus and have God be the glue. God be the one that glues us together and holds us together. He holds all things together. Be united in Him. Amen. Amen. And so that's why it's absolutely crucial. It starts with you to be strong in the Lord, to follow after Him each and every day, to walk in the ways of God, to memorize His word, and to build your life upon His firm foundation. Start with you, your household, then your children, your spouse, and if they reject it, you find a community as well. A church community, rooted in the word, following after God, building you up, not denouncing you, not condemning you. If it is condemning you, denouncing you, then you gotta watch out. But if it is to encourage you, to build you up, then that's a good thing. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Well, may God bless you, be with you. May He strengthen you. May He love you and grow you. In Jesus' most holy name. Amen. Thank you guys for joining me. And I will look forward to seeing you guys in more videos. I need to create more videos. And also in future live streams. And may you continue building your life upon His firm foundation and teaching others to do the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Panda out. Glory to God.